At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is this Isaac or is this Sammy?
This is Sammy.
Okay, one second. I may hang up on you because I really don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but hopefully I'm about to conference Isaac here, okay? So don't say anything bad about him. Here we go. Isaac, are you there now?
I'm here.
There we go. It worked, guys. Can you believe it? Isaac from Hembree, Sammy from Post-Sex Nachos.
What's
How are you guys?
Buddy?
How you guys doing?
Great.
Good, good, good. We're talking to you because you guys are getting ready to do a show together. Aren't they calling it like the I-70 Showdown? Is that the name of it? I-70?
That's what we're calling it. Yeah.
You're calling it that. Okay, the I-70 Showdown. And that's Saturday, April 5th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to it after that, you missed it. But it's this Saturday, April 5th. And it's at the Warehouse on Broadway, which is a cool new venue. So we're excited to see you guys. How have you guys been?
Sammy's so one out there on the road. How you been, Sammy? How's the tour?
Oh man, it's good. We're on our way to Austin right now from Dallas. We had an off day there, and yeah, we're about to do a run of three Texas shows right before KC, and we're getting our cowboy on, you know?
What do you do on an off day in Austin?
Ooh, not sure, because we had our off day in Dallas.
Oh,
but
okay.
I would imagine we'd go to that big park and get some sun.
Isn't there a bridge with bats in it or something?
Not quite sure, but I'll let you know. I'll do some research.
It's either there or Reno. I don't fucking know, but it seemed like I remember that.
I've heard of that.
I can confirm. I've been to the bat bridge. It's real.
Is it in Austin?
It's in Austin. In the summer, everybody gathers down by the... Also, good to talk to you guys. You guys are the best. Thanks for having us. But yeah, you go to the bat bridge, and everybody gathers and just waits for this massive bat exodus. At night, it's bizarre.
Right. When you said Austin, I said, you know what, I'm going to bring this up. And then when you're like, I don't know. And then I'm like, ah, fuck, man.
Maybe it's the wrong
That's a stupid question. Is Reno or Philly? I don't fucking know. I was like, what a horrible interview that is. Guy's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There's no bats in Austin, dude. I'm like, ah, shit.
Well, it's better than what I had. I was like, isn't there like an old tree at that park? Is that where the tree is that Ross Perot tried to save? I don't know if I've ever been, but I know there's a tree. And I know that Joe Rogan lives there. Maybe you could try and go figure out where he lives, take some pictures of his house, and send it to us so we can get an idea of what it looks like. Because I hear his podcast does pretty well.
Better than this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've heard.
It seems like you guys have been doing pretty well. I mean, we've known you guys for quite a while. And you both had, I don't know what you would say the year was, each of you respectively, sort of felt like, holy shit, we're blowing up. Because I remember, so with for you, Sammy.
Well,
with
in my mind, you guys are still waiting for that feeling, right?
Oh, yeah. Fucking guys. Lazo says, hey, just right around the corner.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're blowing up, Isaac, I still need a fucking lazy river in my backyard.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get you that lazy river. We got damn close, and then there had to be a pandemic.
Well, okay. It's what felt like fame to me, I'll tell you that. Because I remember, Sammy, I remember when, what is that guy's name from Shark Tank posted? Mr. Wonderful.
Kevin O'Leary.
O'Leary. I don't know if people remember this, but Kevin O'Leary randomly, unless you guys paid him, I don't understand. Like, I never thought of that guy as like a music snob or whatever, but he just posted that he's a. I mean, how long ago was this? Like 6, 7 years ago, something
this
like that?
2021.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago. Okay. Yeah, he just randomly posted. I saw it on Facebook, and he just said, hey, you know, I don't know if y'all are music fans, but I love post-sex nachos. You should check this out. And he shared your video, and I was like, wow, that's fucking crazy and really impressive. You know what I mean? Did you know that he was going to do that? Did you have any idea that that was coming? And what was your response to that?
So it's interesting. I wish I could say that it was completely random. But our manager at the time's father was a good pal of Kevin O'Leary's.
Ooh,
and he,
nice.
I guess he slipped in like, hey, you should listen to this. And then I guess he liked it. And then he reposted it, which was obviously super random for us because, you know, we're not in the business of making money. and that's kind of his whole thing. So it was weird to cross that.
He does have an affinity for funk rock, though. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's been a lot of videos going around of him trying to, like, lay down bass grooves. It's hilarious.
Are we talking about Sammy or Kevin?
Well, Sammy
Kevin O'Leary.
But no, Kevin O'Leary, for real. There's all these videos of him on the internet where he's like, just landed on a nice groove. Check this out. And it's the dude from Shark Tank, like, kind of playing the bass.
Is it good? Is he good?
No, not great.
I was going to say, just fucking get him in your band.
Right. You know?
Yeah, just call him. Be like, dude, play bass
no
over
shit.
Here.
No shit.
I was watching Shark Tank on a flight, though, as one does when you're on a Southwest flight. Again, because we're waiting on that call to get huge, so we're still taking Southwest. But I was recently watching Shark Tank, and I was thinking about how funny it would be to bring a band on Shark Tank and pitch, like, you know, here's why you should invest in this terrible investment.
That was my next question to you, is why wouldn't you? Why don't you just go to Shark Tank and say, hey, we're a band, you should invest in us, because nobody's done it. At least they could do at least one, right? They don't want to become the next American Idol, but they could do a band. If a band shows up and like, oh, good idea, we've never done an artist before, a music artist before.
I think maybe if Sammy and I show up together, we try to get him to sign Post-X Nachos and Himbry, like a Always Sunny, we'll do the two-for-one job.
Oh, yeah. I like it. And it could be, the title of the band would have to be Kevin O'Leary's. Right? Kevin O'Leary's Himbry. Kevin O'Leary's Post-Sex Nachos. Like, we'll put it in the fucking cover, man.
Kevin O'Leary's Himbry. We are not above that at this point. We're way in for that.
If I was your manager, I'd be like, well, fuck me. Why didn't I think about that? I'd be calling him now. Like, hey, get your buddy's dad on the phone and let's get this guy over here. Like, because look, I know you guys are, you know, touring musicians, whatever, but fucking money is tough in that industry, man. I don't think people realize it.
No.
They see your name on the internet. They see your name, you know, playing shows and, you know, people know the words to your songs, but it's like, man, it is a fucking grind.
I've had that same thought, Lazo, like many times now when we're out, you know, direct support for a massive band. And I think back to when I was 16 and I was in the crowd at those shows and I'm like, oh, well, if they're on this tour, they're certainly super loaded.
Yeah. And there's a chance that 30 years ago, maybe, you know, that's the other thing is we all got into our respective industries. You know, we've all been told that, oh, you're just a few decades too late. It's like, God damn it. Because it's just things have changed. The days of I'm an artist and I don't want my music to be commercialized, those days are gone. If they're not, that artist is destined to fail because you need that music to show up in a commercial. You need it. I remember hearing Isaac, speaking of you guys blowing up, I remember when, what song was in all those commercials? Was it Distortion that was in all the commercials?
Holy Water was in the Apple commercial.
Oh, that's right. And that played during the fucking Super Bowl.
I know.
Yeah. And again, take me back to when I was 15 or 16. If you said, hey, how much do you think this artist got paid to have this song used for their commercial in the Super Bowl? I'd be like, I don't know, millions. Millions of dollars.
I know. Yeah, it's so crazy. But, I mean, everybody's trying to get into that market of, like, getting your songs in TV and commercials. And it's great because it does pay a little bit. But, like, it's hard when everybody's flooded to that area because that's the area of the music industry that pays. So then the actual payout is – it just gets devalued more and more and more because there's always someone – who will take the payout for less and
take less.
Yep.
When we were working on Primavera, Isaac produced our most recent full-length album. And when we were working on it, we were grinding on that song, Talk About It, with the Greeting Committee, who you guys know very well.
Mm-hmm. They owe me a fucking Lazy River, too.
Everybody in the city of the band owes you a Lazy River.
I put all my chips on the table with all you motherfuckers, not one Lazy River.
Just a bunch of it.
It's a really hard gig, man. What a grind. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, man. Fucking,
I'll bet Joe Rogan has a lazy river.
Joe Rogan got a lazy river.
He's going to put a lazy river in for you. It's not music royalties at all, but Kevin O'Leary's just going to do it.
Go ahead and get our Shark Tank money.
So anyway, Sammy, sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, no, I was just saying we kept joking about how we need to get this song in a Levi's commercial. And then we'll really make it big time.
Yeah. Well, right. What would that pay, do you think, off the top of your head? What do you think that would pay to be in a Levi's commercial?
Probably not enough, right?
I mean, we have no idea. Yeah. So are we talking 10 grand, 100 grand? I really don't know.
You know, I know that I managed a band one time and Nike called and said that they wanted them to do a cover of Bad Reputation. And so, you know, you do the studio time. Yeah, you do the studio time. You do it for the U.S. women's soccer team. And you do all this stuff, and you put it together. You're like, all right, this is fucking going to be great. This is going to be it. And then, like, 3 weeks later, they call back, and they're like, yeah, I mean, we loved what you guys did with it, but we just used the Joan Jett version.
Thanks.
I'm like, well, why wouldn't you fucking do that from the start? Like,
Jesus Christ.
I know this feeling way too well. I've met some people. Like, because, you know, out in L.A. now, you start to know all the music supervisors, all the people who work in film and TV. And I met some people, and they were like, oh, man, we had you guys queued up for the Dick's Sporting Goods commercial, but we just ended up going with A-Punk by Vampire Weekend. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I totally get why you did that.
I haven't seen that one. Just trying to imagine someone, like, I don't know, trap shooting and listening to Vampire Weekend. But I don't see a ton of TV commercials anymore. So this tour, you guys will just be doing, is it just this show that you guys are doing together?
It's
the one and done.
Just the one and done. All right.
One big blowout in KC.
Yeah.
Now, everybody live in LA now?
We live in Nashville.
Oh, it's right. It's Nashville or LA.
Well, you're a step ahead of everybody. Like, everybody eventually leaves LA or New York and goes to Nashville, right? I mean, that's kind of the new thing. Yeah.
Is that the trajectory?
Well, yeah, in the last five years,
family, and you can have a studio in the back of your house in Nashville, and you can still sort of own the house, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the cost of living is like in Nashville. I'm sure it's quite a bit cheaper than LA, obviously, or New York. So, maybe not anymore. It's also very expensive compared to where I am.
Yeah, no, it's getting more expensive every year. But you know, it's definitely not New York yet. Pretty close, a lot closer to LA than it is to New York for sure.
Why does a band have to do that? You know what I mean? Could you, if you said, you know what, I wish we could just have a place and we could put a recording studio on the back of the house and be able to afford it and be close enough. Why can't you live, you know, an hour, 2 hours outside of a medium-sized city? I know that in L.A., you're trying to get those deals we just talked about. If you're in New York or L.A., it's probably a lot easier to get in a Netflix show, to have a meeting with someone if you have to do that in person. I really don't know how that stuff works. But I've always wondered, people seem to flock. Either they go New York, L.A. to start, and then you've got all these artists that go to Nashville, right, of course, still to this day. And
I got to think going there is, it's all about
meeting the right people.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, you guys can tell me, but I would think, like, if a record company or a music supervisor or whatever calls, they don't want to hear that you got to fucking fly Southwest and you'll be there in two days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was it for me. I mean, as you guys know, and I guess Sam was just talking about it, like, I do a lot of writing and production and stuff. So for me, that whole scene, because, you know, I got to actually make money here. Right. So you pivot, you produce and mix and all that. But I, for me, it was that, all of that was here. The exact reason you said, Laszlo, is that I would get offers to do sessions, but then I'd be like, okay, cool, I can be there tomorrow or in 2 days. Like, oh, never mind. So it just, there's been plenty of times where the opportunity has been presented and it's just kind of happened because I'm here.
Yeah. You got to be ready.
That's like, Exactly. And like, you know, it's funny, Slim, when you said the go to the studios or all that, like we played at Paramount last week just because they were like, oh, they're here, they're in LA. Like, yeah, have them come down.
For like an employee thing or what? What do you mean you played? What did you do there?
Yeah, like in a conference like room. but it was kind of cool. Everyone there was chill, and it was good energy
well,
in there.
Yeah.
We met Cynthia Erivo.
Dude, that's pretty fucking cool to get to go onto the lot and they just invite you in, like, yeah, we're the band. They just see you with your equipment and you go in there and play a show. I mean, that's pretty cool. That's pretty fucking cool.
It was awesome. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there is the whole thing too, like a guy like Kevin Morby, he was out in LA, did his time, and then now he's back in Kansas City, and yeah. I think he's got a spot in Overland Park where that he converted just to a studio. So like that's kind of an amazing way to do it too. I think for me specifically, if I was just doing the band, I do think you can kind of tour almost out of anywhere now, once you've made those initial connections. But I just do so much other music stuff that it's still here, you know?
Right. It's the exact same way for me. Like if, especially like kind of like what you were talking about earlier, it's like, yeah, like if you get a call from one of these big wigs, you know, at like one of these major labels, you can't, they don't want to fly you in. They barely want to pay you for your record. <They're> like, especially unless you're like one of these, you know, 16-year-old TikTok kids who's
right.
taking the world by storm for like 45 minutes,
right.
And they want to give you $1 million and then lose out on their investment. Yeah, no, they don't want to fly you in. Even Southwest,
yeah.
$200? No.
Right.
I also do like a ton of writing in Nashville, and that is definitely like probably the biggest plus of living in a music city is you really don't got to go far to get work.
Well,
kind of all
well, plus
of
it's also
in
like
the industry on the side as well. So.
Doesn't it also feel sense. Like, I guess I would think it's also being around like-minded people.
Yeah.
Right? Like right. like-minded people. There's a lot of people. Like, I would think, like, if you're fucking working at Chili's on 119th Street in Overland Park and you're in a band and you're like, the grind has got to feel even more at that point, then if you're in LA or Nashville or New York and you're grinding it out with other people who are like, you know, it's going to be okay, or yeah, this sucks, but we're good, as opposed to you just kind of you and your two buddies like, oh my God, what are we doing?
Oh,
it feels 100%. Like it'd be a lot more discouraging if you were, you know, on your own somewhere.
I totally relate to that. And I also think that, you know, out here, there's a lot of people that I know now who are winning Grammys. So they are, you know, that are just mutual friends and stuff. So it's kind of like, oh, that it does happen. If you can find a way to keep it going, you know, which thankfully I think like us and Post-X Nachos have to make it sustainable. If you can ride that for a minute, you can see where it does go to that next level.
Like,
you know, it's crazy, Laszlo. I've been writing songs with a bunch of people who I was with the Mowglis last week.
All
I was
right.
with Small Pools, all these bands that have over the years played so many of your shows. So it's just, it is cool though. All these people have kind of just become buds, and we were reminiscing over so many kind of legendary shows in KC.
Right.
Well, I have a question for both of you. Maybe for you, especially, Sammy, since you're in Nashville, but a question for both of you. As you're talking about trying to make money and all that, yesterday we were talking here in the studio, Spencer and I were talking about Chet Hanks, Tom Hanks' son. And he's the guy who, you know, he went viral, I don't know, however many years ago, for putting out rap videos. And people were like, Tom Hanks' son is putting out rap videos. Well, now I guess he's like in a country rock band because he released a video with his dad in it. It's like a Forrest Gump themed video. And it is just a straight ahead. It sounds like a country hit. And we both said the same thing. Like, man, you know, if you're in the music business and you're like, I need to make money. How tempting is it to look at country music and go, I could do that. I could write those songs. I'm already a songwriter. I could write them some songs.
You know, what's crazy is, and I know Isaac can relate to this because we've talked about it, but it's like, oh yeah, no, like give us the country sessions. That's where the money is. It's just unfortunately super, super overpopulated in that world in Nashville. And there's so many writers that are just pumping out the same hits that always do well. So obviously the first call for the, you know, Morgan Wallens or the Chris Stapleton tracks. But yeah, no, it's definitely a sellout thing. It's like, yeah, no, like I want to sell out to make some money so that I can keep doing what I'm passionate about. And for Isaac and me, that's our bands, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think the go.
I'm a big Rollins fan, and I just remember going, I think maybe I saw him do one of those speaking tours that he did, and he had mentioned something about, you know, people bitching about him, about selling out. I don't know what fucking record that guy did that sounds sold out to me, but but if people are going to bitch at Rollins for selling out, and his response was, then you help me push the fucking van up the hill.
Right.
Like, I need some money. Like, what are we talking about? You know? Yeah, like, I'm a guy
right.
out here.
He's on Beach One all the time. Like, yeah. That, and people were like, oh, he's a sellout now.
Right. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. It was easy for the Beastie Boys to say, we're not going to sell our music mm-hmm. to any commercials. Like, yeah, well, you guys have sold 150 million records. Like, you don't need to sell your stuff to any commercials. You know?
It was like Liar Cohen. People were like, oh, you know, bands don't need record labels anymore. And Radiohead just puts out their record and they charge you whatever you think it's worth.
And they asked
him about it. He goes, yeah, number one, be Radiohead.
It's a good starting point.
Start writing those records, and yeah, you can sell it online for whatever you want. Like, of course, man. It's a hard thing.
It is difficult, and it's crazy. I have friends who have been in these bands that were huge in the early 2000s and stuff, and like, you know, All American Rejects and artists like of that kind of realm. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh man, we kind of toured for the promotion. We were selling so many records.
Oh yeah. That was the very end of it.
At the tail end.
Imagine being able to sell so many records.
Well, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's insane.
Well, speaking about that, we talked about a story the other day. Did you guys see that Fred Durst is suing Universal Music? Did you guys see the story though?
Tell me more.
Well, it's a fascinating story, but, I mean, the numbers may be off a little bit, but he somehow was working with someone and was like, hey, I think Universal or Geffen or whoever it was, they owe us some money on this publishing. So somehow a lawyer looked into it, and they were like, you know, they sent a letter like, you owe us some money on publishing, and they're like, oh, yeah, sorry. And they sent him a check for like, you know, $1.5 million. And then they're like, wait, we think it's
1.5 mil error.
Right. And then they said, wait, we think you're short. And they're like, oh yeah, here's 2 million more. And then so they had a lawyer start to dig into it. And it's, you know, I guess they've been given the go ahead to go to court. But they're like, you motherfuckers owe us like $200 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The band got an advance when they signed, a $43 million advance, according to the label. And the label's like, hey, you know, we needed to recoup that $43 million. But then you look at how many records they sold, which is like a trillion. And so they should have more than recovered that advance and been owed a lot of money. So, yeah, it was one good memory, Laz. $1.03 million was the first payment they agreed to give him. And the second time, they gave him $2.3 million. And the band's like, wait a second.
Why are you giving us this money?
Right.
So I guess the story was that because they were young guys, they got this $50 million. And they were like, it's fucking great. And then at that point, like we're talking about, they're going out at that time making money on concerts, right? They're you know, merch, concerts, everything. They've never really looked into it. And the label apparently is just like, yeah, you guys never really recouped that $50 million. And they're like, well, what do we care? We're rich. They never thought about it until now. They're like, you know, we should probably look into see how much they owe.
I can use
like $200 million.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
So the other part of that is like, I mean, my God.
Over the last 25 years. I can't even fathom signing a $43 million record deal.
Right.
Right.
As an advance.
Like Sammy said, now they're like, oh, is the record done? We want to just buy it as it is.
Right.
Is it already famous? Is it already huge? Because then we'll buy it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not even adjusting for inflation. I mean, you mentioned earlier these labels are big now on signing these 16-year-olds who could get a song that's got a billion streams on Spotify. I don't know what they pay, because I do think sometimes there's bidding wars between labels for those Spotify kids who have all those streams. But I seriously doubt it's $43 million. I don't think they're giving them $43 million. You know,
right.
Those days are over.
Well, has this interview sufficiently made you guys decide to just fuck being in a band? You're done.
Honestly, yeah. Every day you have a little bit of that. That's like, oh my God, this is so unreasonable. I work a part time job 3 days a week when I'm home in Nashville at a coffee shop. And it's crazy because these, you know, famous celebrities will walk in, and I'm just, you know, giving them a cup of drip or a, you know, a protein bar, and I'm just looking at them, and it's crazy, the duality of like, okay, I am here at the coffee shop being spit at by these tourists, and then like, oh, last week I was playing on a huge stage at Lollapalooza. It's like, oh, and kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, it's like so many people after that Lollapalooza date were like, oh my gosh, you guys hit it big, like you're set, and it's like, oh no,
no,
oh, super, well, yeah, super,
Rolling
no,
Stone super,
the next
no.
Ezra Koenig.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, it's like, prove it.
Right.
That used to mean something, though. Like, we've had very similar experiences where it's like, we got in Rolling Stone after South by Southwest, and you're like, oh, this is it, right? You're like, no, it all helps, but it's definitely,
oh,
like,
that's right. Rolling Stone's like best artist of, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, whenever that was. What was that, late teens, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, late, like 2019 or something like that. Yeah. But no, it is, like Sammy said, it's so unreasonable, but I don't know, there's still something so fun about playing for a, you know, large crowd with your friends, so it's like, I don't know, I've just reached a point where if the day comes where we get that Fred Durst 43 mil, fantastic, and when it inevitably doesn't, at least I'm having a good time and, you know, made it further than so many others, so it's kind of like, you know, it's unreasonable, but there's
but you still get chicks. The chicks haven't dried up, right? I mean, the one thing about playing a show like Lollapalooza or whatever, being on TV, the chicks are still there. You don't have to be on dating apps.
I've been married for 10 years.
I'm saying you have to push them away.
You're talking to a couple of Gen Z guys. We're Gen X guys. We're like, what are you even...
Dude, I'm millennial through and through, guys. Come on.
I'm like, what are you guys even playing for?
Right.
Well, your first answer is, I've been married 10 years. I don't want to hang out. Like, oh, God.
Well, we're, you know, this is on a podcast, but we don't know what you would say in private. My point is that, yeah, there's a lot of interest out there.
You're talking to the two most lame rock bands, unfortunately, today. It's like, we don't go out after our shows. We are all in very long-term monogamous relationships.
Ugh. Okay, I don't know why you're doing
were
this.
Cool. They Alex and Austin were cool, but they've mellowed.
Man.
I was pretty cool last week. We had a crazy night with Rose. And,
that's right.
I vividly remember you bringing me some whiskey, and the quote you said to me was, "This isn't going to age well."
That should be the name of the tour.
Well, I'm glad to see you've grown up. I, on the other hand, am still not aging well.
Well, Sammy... It's so good to talk to you guys. Sammy Isaac, it is really good to talk to you guys. We're excited to see you. Again, Warehouse on Broadway this Saturday, the 5th, Hembry and Post-Sex Nachos. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was just saying, it's great to catch up with you guys. It's been way too long. Like, for real, I know we're still climbing the hill, but obviously you guys, early days, like, I did promise Blaslow to get him a Lazy River, so I got to figure that out.
Hey, man, those, you know what? You don't. And I mean, if you get the money, of course you do. But I'm not pressing you, man. But, you know, like, you look back on it, man, those are, like, me and you just combing over that first record while I was out on my deck, you know, listening to it over and over and over again. And, you know, just, you know, trying to, you know, give my input to make it as best as we could. You know, those... That's the thing, man. We bitch about the money. Look, radio is what it is. It's a tough business, and people get whacked all the time. And, you know, it's a dying industry, they tell us, and all those other things. But, man, I wouldn't give it up. Like, you know, because this is what I do. And it's like what you guys do. You know, it's like those are the things. And, that, you know, I'll never get paid for those times listening to that record and then seeing it come to its fruition, from where it started to where it came out in the end, you know, like, right. You don't have to pay me for that, man. That was, you know, those months, those were fucking magic, right?
They were magical. And it's like, I remember you texting me again, talk about a thing that you think would pay more money, but didn't. I remember you texting me when we were on Sunday Night Football. You were like, dude, they're playing Holy Water over and over again. And I remember being like, oh, this is it. You know, how many moments do you have where you're like, this is it? And then I remember our publisher called NBC Sports. They were like, oh, it's called ephemeral usage. It's actually just live, so we don't really have to pay. Like, no.
Of course they don't. Gee, that's the other thing. It's like, what the fuck, man? There's right. always something. And that's another sign that the industry isn't what it used to be, because I'll bet you in the 90s they didn't have some excuse like it's called ephemeral usage.
I completely agree. You got to wait until you're past Fred Durst to be like, you motherfuckers are lying to me about Monday Night Football. You owe me $200 million.
And the Lazy
exactly.
River, goddammit.
In which case, that Lazy River's going right in. But no, you wouldn't trade it for anything. It's like, those were really fun times. It was so exciting. Like, oh, this person is interested. This is happening. This, so, I mean, I know we weren't the only ones, Laszlo, that you went to bat for, but I do, you know, sincerely appreciate all the, you know, heart and effort and belief you put into us and, you know, several others from the hometown, you know.
Man, well, it's been, to me, it's just, you know, about, again, it's like, you know, you hear something you like and you try to, you know, try to help. You know, I don't know. I'm not a good person. Like, I don't give to charity. You know what I mean? Like, not that guy, but I'm like, hey, this song's pretty fucking good. We should try to make other people hear it or something.
He was trying to get a Lazy River. Yeah, it was all about the Lazy River.
Charity's never going to give me a Lazy River.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the truth. Kevin O'Leary is, though.
That's right. And you know what? If your marriages don't work out, you end up divorced, you're still in the biz. So, you know, at least then. You'll be excited then that the chicks are around. I guarantee you.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you guys rule, like, for real. I was talking to the guys the other day about how when Laszlo said he'd play Can't Run Forever on a male, I was like, holy shit. Like,
this is it.
It's another one of those. Here we go.
That's the first. This is it. This is it. Yeah.
But, you know. I guess it all has been this kind of steady climb. And, you know, the Nachos, I think they got a great wave of momentum right now playing Bonnaroo. So I hope Sammy can quit that coffee job here soon.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Sammy, just stay on the payroll just in case. You know what I mean?
You never know who you're going to bump into. You might bump into a country artist who wants to buy your songs. You know what I mean?
You know, it's so funny. And I think the whole thesis of this entire conversation is that, you know, the problem of what we've been doing is that it's just too fun.
You're right.
It will remain unreasonable probably until the end of it. But boy, the 1 hour of glory you get every night when you're on tour, it's amazing. And then the rest sucks ass. Truly.
Truly, the rest sucks ass. It's just like, yeah. Didn't you guys just drive from L.A. to Texas?
We drove from Phoenix to Dallas, which was, it was about 16 hours in the car.
Yeah, I do look at bands like that are on the grind and they're in that van driving from show to show, and I think, first of all, how do they not hate each other? But right. Also, I do think that's the part that's probably not fun. But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe they look back on it and go, actually, that was fun. I miss those days on the road, you know, doing what we loved, knowing that we were going to go do another show, which is like a dream come true, and get paid something to do it. You know, that's something to that. Like we said, we were doing what we love.
It's for sure type 2 fun. Yeah, that's how we describe it.
Exactly.
It is one of those things where you hear about bands doing it, like maybe it was the Foo Fighters or somebody who was like, you know, we're going to get back in a tour bus and do it, you know, the way we used to. And I'm like, is it really the way you used to? Is it really the way you used to? Yeah. It feels like that might be a little different. Feels like the bus might be nicer. The dinners might be nicer where you stop. Right? Like, all those things might have a different vibe to it when you're touring. It was the same thing I heard about, like, one of the things people told me when I started, you know, I had a record, it doesn't matter what I did, but one of the guys told me that when you start out, you play for the door, and you just get fucked. And if you get big enough to the Red Hot Chili Peppers level, or Metallica, or the Foo Fighters, or whoever, then you tell the venue, we'll play for the fucking door.
Exactly.
Same promoter, just different fucking money.
If you're if you're big, door deals rule.
Yeah, right. And it was, you know,
great.
It was somebody was telling me that, like, you know, we used to hate playing for the door. Now we're like, yeah, we'll play for the door.
And yeah, when you have that confidence that you know you're going to sell all those tickets, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, here's one for you, real quick, of the like living in LA thing. Went to a friend's baby shower recently. And another friend had recently had a kid.
That's really rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super rock and roll. Yeah. Here's where it gets,
dude's going to baby showers.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Here's where it gets extremely rock and roll, or maybe not as rock and roll. So I walk in, I start talking to this guy who's holding one of the babies. And we're talking for a couple minutes. And then I look up and like focus in on him like, oh my God, I'm talking to Pat Smear.
No way. No way.
That's crazy.
And what do you mean one of the babies? Was this baby shower a bunch of babies? Is that what a baby shower is?
Yeah, this is baby shower everywhere. No, it was like a friend had just had a kid, and then another person was having a kid. We're entering our 30s, you know, that's just like where we're at.
Right.
But I could not believe it. And then my friend who plays drums in a bunch of different bands, I walked over to him, he's like, yeah, did you know you were just talking to Pat Smear from Nirvana?
Right.
Did you, and you didn't know that you were talking to him?
I did. I kind of came in just like chatting or whatever, like, and then all of a sudden it kind of dawns on you. Whoa, play it cool.
This right, it's L.A. That's Nirvana. The thing about L.A. You have to play it cool. If you go, oh, my God, suddenly you're out. Right. You're out.
You're not exactly. Cool, yeah.
Right, but you also kind of have to talk to Pat Smear. Like, right. I could help
just
you
play
out.
It off, like, cute baby, whatever. Smells like Teen Spirit was fine, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, seemed cool at the time. Yeah. Sounds real fucking dated now.
What have you
anyway.
Done for me lately?
All right. Can you imagine?
That'd be so great.
Oh, it doesn't hold up. No, that thing is sounds banging.
Sammy Isaac, Post-Sex Nachos, Hembry, the I-70 Showdown this Saturday at Warehouse on Broadway. Everybody
and
get your tickets.
This is the first show that our podcast has ever sponsored. So
yeah, our first
show. Look at that.
Thank you guys
so much
for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We'll see you.
All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Toxic and Problematic is brought to you by Mitra 9 Kratom and Kava. Visit mitra-9.com and use promo code PROBLEMATIC for 25% off your order. Thank you to Direct Computer Outlet in Mission, Kansas for making our Twitch stream possible. Music graciously provided by Kid Computer. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.